Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are doing well. So I have now listened to the whole of Chris Todd's book, and there's a channel, Everything Black. Hebrew teacher, credit to them for doing an analysis of it. I'll put the link in the description box. But I'm at the chapter right now, going over it again, the Tupac chapter. I'm going to do a video later on about Diddy's links to the murder conspiracies of Tupac and Biggie. But for now, we're going to go over the Tupac chapter. It is fascinating. There are some acts described of a nature that you don't want to have kids in the room, so disclaimer alert. And there are some swear words, and there's the n-word as well, as these guys are saying it to each other. All right, so let me start with this then, and we'll get your thoughts as we go. Here we go. Let me just move over here. There we go.
But that's for later. Chapter 6, Pac. Biggie took over East Coast hip-hop, and Sean was the brilliant mind that orchestrated it. He hired people to teach Chris how to flow and write his lyrics. He hired the best producers to do the beats, although he took credit for them. And the music was unstoppable. At this point, Sean was sleeping with all the power players. And everyone that wanted to do music wanted to be a bad boy.
She said he was sleeping with all the power players.
So that's her commentary on the audiobook.
Wow. Huh.
Sean wheeled and dealed in a way that would have been unthinkable to many. He slept with the guys that really control the music to stay on top, and a lot of the names average people have never heard of.
But we are slowly finding them out. And bear in mind, this book was in motion for a long time before all these allegations come out recently. We'll get to that anyway with Chris Todd, and I've watched his recent interviews, and he was on the channel just over a week ago, the author.
These are the guys that make the decisions on who is winning and who is not. He hosted parties that were just a fancy name for orgies, and everyone wanted in. When I met Tupac, Sean and I had an open relationship. And yes, I slept with Pac-ish. He was sexy. Sean didn't mind. Well, not until he tried to get Pac to join both of us. Pac was not good with that. This is where the relationship between them became strained.
So the book is steeped in bisexual encounters. Everyone's sleeping with everyone, basically. people trying to climb the ladder, people trying to ingratiate themselves. And of course, we know from the indictments the horrific things that the survivors who I watched that movie last night, Blake twice. And wow, and we'll get to that as well.
Tupac wasn't going to accept Sean's advances. Pac wasn't gay, and he was pissed about the advances. We were all in Sean's house. I was drinking, they were smoking, and everyone was just relaxing. Sean came in on what I am sure he would call a smooth approach. My baby is bad, isn't she? Pac threw me a sly smile. Hell yeah. I felt myself blush. Sean was now in full swing. You think you hit it better than me? I couldn't believe he disrespected me that way.
Yeah, so Pac is standing up for himself against Diddy, whereas in the book, many people who come into his orbit just fold and do whatever he says.
Not playing with my response. Sean, what the F? Pac came to my defense. Damn, bro, you ain't got to do the sister that way. Tupac appeared upset behind Sean's words, but Sean went in for the kill regardless. I think my dick's bigger than yours. I bet I could make her come faster than you. What's up? Pac was appalled. What the F are you talking about, nigga? I ain't trying to run no effing train, Sean continued. What you scared of? Let's see who F's better. Let her be the judge. Yes, at this point, we have been inviting others into our bed for a while, but I'm not used to and will not stand for disrespect. I wasn't the only one upset. Pac shouted, nigga, you talking about pulling your effing dick out? Sean was undaunted. What, you scared? Tupac simply left. Things were contentious since then. The two could not be in the same room. Pac avoided me as much as he did Sean.
So Kim slept with Pac separately, she admitted, allegedly in this book. But the threesome attempt by Diddy got shut down.
When they did bump into each other, the tension was palpable. It felt like blows could be thrown at any moment. Months passed with only the tension between them. It was uncomfortable, but nothing life or death. Then one day while we were in the studio, it happened. I walked into Sean's office and he was having the conversation. Sean sat across from Jimmy Henchman. Pac don't leave that effing studio alive. I don't think I was supposed to hear it. I continued as if I didn't. Hey, Sean, good morning. Jimmy, they didn't seem to think I heard anything. I'm ordering breakfast. Smiling, Sean replied, first, let me get eggs sunny side up with grits and orange juice. I could see he was hung over. Good. I don't want him knowing I know anything. If he just put a hit on Pac, knowing something could be dangerous. Jimmy, apparently not hungry, said, nothing for me. As he stood to exit the room, he said, Sean, let's make that happen. Then nodded to me and said, Kim, always a pleasure. With a wink to me and a nod to Sean, he turned and walked out. Jimmy was a part of our intimate circle. I went on as if nothing was happening. I'll make the call now. I smiled as I left, hoping I wasn't white as a sheet. I wasn't in the studio that night. Pac arrived, being shot, thank God. From what I understood, Sean and Chris saw Pac at the studio after he'd been shot and did nothing. The way God works, after being shot, Pac made it to the elevator and tried to escape, but it stopped at the floor Sean and Chris were on. When the doors opened, they saw him lying on the elevator floor, riddled with bullets. The fact that they didn't call an ambulance, although they saw Pac lying there swimming in a pool of his own blood, would be all the evidence Pac ever needed.
So we've got John Potash coming on, who is a researcher on Tupac, John Lennon, Kurt Cobain. He's coming on, and he's going to incorporate Diddy. He's coming on in about 4 days, I believe, and he's going to connect all this to the intelligence services and MK Ultra. I know a lot of people want us to go down that road, so stay tuned for John Potash coming on in a few days. I mean, I'm going to reach out to Chris Todd as well, trying to get him back on. Yeah, his book's been pulled from Amazon.
He, of course, assumed they placed a hit and Tupac is a soldier. This is not something that will be unanswered. Pac didn't do well. He lost a testicle, but he survived. It was orchestrated and Sean Puffy Combs was the orchestrator. Chapter 7, Threats.
So basically, a reoccurring theme throughout the book is loyalty. If anyone challenges Diddy's loyalty, then heaven help him. He's like this zealous ruler who has this power over all these people, exercises it constantly. Yeah, people come in and do these horrific things, and he makes them all these false promises and stuff. And but he expects absolute loyalty from everybody, like this great dictator. And if anyone crosses him, heaven help them. I mean, the book theorizes that the fact that he launched Biggie and then Biggie was going on his own, creating his own thing, is one of the motivations that Diddy was involved in the murder conspiracy of Biggie as well. So we are going to do separate videos on the murders of Tupac and Biggie in relation to Diddy. For now, I want to go over a timeline of Tupac and Diddy's relations. And I found a good one in Stylecaster. It just gives a basic timeline. Let me see if I can get this pulled up. One second. Isn't your screen? What happened between Tupac and Biggie? Because, yeah, Caligula, Sandy, definitely. Because there's a lot of controversy around Chris Todd's book. Some people are saying it's true. Some people are saying it's not. I've just got to say anything. It's alleged. I don't know. You know, until he releases the flash drive and the metadata, which he hasn't done yet. Some people are asking him to do that. Then we don't know for sure whether it was genuinely information from her, whether it was made up from some other people. So Chris Todd is the front man for the book. He said other people are involved in it, but he's got carte blanche to make all decisions over it. And the kids, Kim and Diddy's kids, they've had the book removed from Amazon. And I can imagine if you're reading the book, completely throughout it is sexually explicit. There's no sugarcoating anything. And if you're a child and you're going to read that, and that's supposedly your mother's words, it's going to make your head explode. There's no way you're going to believe your mother is going to write anything like that. Gene Deal said that Kim was a mother thirst, and she wouldn't have put anything like that out there because she would have been thinking of her kids. Gene Deal, the bodyguard. But there's also the fact that the book was in the pipeline for so long, and people probably would have mocked and laughed at the book if these indictments hadn't come down. But the things that are described in the book are the 30 things that are being described in these indictments. So there's some people's viewpoints that the book is not real. People close to Kim and Diddy and family members. But how could all of this be put in a book when the indictment wasn't out and it ties in to everything that's being described that we're hearing in the news? I don't know how many of you guys have actually read the book. If you have read the book, put a one in the chat if you think these horrific things being described in the book are true. Put a two in the chat if you think it's fabricated, and we'll see. And then we're gonna go over this timeline. Like I said, we've got a psychic coming on at 7:30 before the Royal Mess, who's had a lot of involvement with the cops and cases. Looks like it's 2/3 ones right now. Not read it, Nikki, yet. Put a 3 in if you've not read it. that channel, you know, credit to that channel, the one we just played. The channel, if you want to listen to the whole book, is called Everything Black American Hebrew Teacher. Kim's Last Words complete book. I'll put it in the description to finish, because there's quite a lot of threes coming in right now. All right, so we want to go to the timeline. So Tupac once accused Diddy of being involved in a shooting that left him injured 2 years before his death, which is stated in the book. They were both key players in the East Coast West Coast rap feud of the 1990s. So I moved to America in 1991. And all this was in the news. Someone wants me to create a poll. Oh well, I'll create a poll. I'm gonna email Chris Todd after this and see if we can get him back on as well. Because he's done some interviews recently and he's been grilled about this. All right, with the latest arrest garnering headlines, Diddy and his feud with Tupac is shedding spotlight again. East Coast rap feud was sparked by the emergence of Diddy's label, Bad Boy Records, and Suge Knight's Death Row Records. Diddy's long been connected to the death of Tupac. However, he has not been investigated by authorities for the rapper's death. The record executive was accused of orchestrating the first shooting at Quad Studios before Tupac went to prison and denied involvement. Diddy was arrested in New York on September 16, 2024 for the present charges. Earlier in the year, Eminem made claims that Diddy was actually involved in Tupac's death. So this is going to be, we're going to do the deep dive on the death separately. All right, so there's the timeline of all interactions between Diddy and Tupac. 1993, Diddy founded Bad Boy Records. Diddy founded the East Coast label, Bad Boy Records, and released the debuts of the Notorious B.I.G. and Craig Mack. 1994, Tupac is shot and blames Bad Boy Records. So he was shot during a recording session at Quad Studios. He reportedly gave the middle finger to the Notorious Big while he was carried out in a stretcher. In an interview with Vibe, he said that other people, including Biggie and Diddy, in the room gave him looks and suspected that they knew about the shooting. Nobody approached me. I noticed that nobody would look at me. In a resurfaced video, Tupac recounted that he saw Diddy in the studio looking nonchalant. Quote, Puffy was standing back too. I knew Puffy. He knew how much stuff I had done for Biggie before he came out. With Hip Hop Magazine, let me go back up, sorry. Diddy claims innocence and denies Bad Boy Records had anything to do with it. He ain't mad at that N-word that shot him. He knows where they're at. He knows who shot him. If you ask him, he knows, and everybody in the street knows, and he's not stepping to them because knows that he's not going to get away with that. Beep. To me, that's some real sucker. Beep. Be mad at everybody, man. Don't be using N-word as scapegoats. We know that he's a nice guy from New York. All beep aside. And he's just going on and on and basically calling Tupac a nice, good-hearted guy. But he's actually calling him, if you read between the lines, he's calling him a coward. Yeah. All right, so Tupac is a nice, good-hearted guy. Let's go down. In 1995, Tupac signs to Death Row. After Suge Knight offered $1.4 million for his bail, if the rapper agrees to sign with Death Row, he released All on Eyes on Me, which was Death Row's biggest record at the time. Though he didn't mention Suge Knight by name, Suge Knight shaded Diddy and his label Bad Boy Records in a speech. He said, any artist... Suge Knight disses Diddy at 1995 Rewards. Any artist out there that want to be an artist and stay a star and don't have to worry about the executive producer trying to be in all the videos on all the recording dancing, come to Death Row. In an interview with Revolt TV, Drinks Champs, did he recall that he confronted Shug, but de-escalated the situation by not retaliating? He said, so I ran up and I asked him about Shug's speech being about Diddy. And he said, nah, I was talking about Jermaine Dupri. So 1995, what is it? Shug Knight, this is... Wants to be an artist and a star. All right, Jermaine Dupri, we've done that one. The Death Row. Tupac signed to Death Row Records. Yeah, we've done that one. Okay, let's see if I can see this. What's this jumping up and down? All right, let's go beyond. Diddy visits Tupac in prison. After he was convicted of SA, Diddy visited Tupac at Rikers, New York, to show him no one on Bad Boy Records was responsible for the shooting. 1996, Notorious B.I.G. releases Long Kiss Goodnight. Thought to be written about Tupac, but Diddy denied the rumors. If Biggie was going to do a song about Tupac, he would have just come out of it and said his name. And then 1996, Tupac is killed in a drive-by shooting. So yeah, so John Potash is going to get go over that on us with us in about 4 days. Scroll down. And Notorious Big releases Long Kiss Goodnight. Drive by shooting. So on September 7th, 97, Tupac was shot while sitting inside a black BMW with Shug next to him. And many of us have seen the videos of this, where they're in the car. Police have said the two were waiting at a red light near the Las Vegas Strip when a white Caddy pulled up next to them and gunfight erupted. Police and paramedics took Knight and Shakur to the University Medical Center of Southern Nevada. The two were leaving the Bruce Seldon Tyson boxing at MGM Hotel. Shakur attacked Crips member Orlando Anderson with Knight's entourage. That's not a good move, is it? You don't want to mess with the Crips. Right. Tupac died of respiratory failure that led to cardiac arrest after the removal of his right lung. Wow. Doctors attempted to revive him, but could not stop the hemorrhaging. He's pronounced dead at 4:03 p.m.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
And then we've got... Oops, it jumped down. Eminem coming into the mix. When was that? So Eminem Diddy and Snoop Dogg call for the end of the East West Coast rapper feud. That was in 1997. Suspect. 2004, Eminem accuses Diddy of orchestrating Tupac's murder. On Fuel Shady Version, Eminem implies that Diddy has something to do with both Tupac and Biggie's deaths, which is what it says in the Kim Porter book. Notorious Big's death was the domino. Just jumping around in it. Sorry about this. Was the domino? Blah blah blah. All right, I'm gonna do this separately. Let me just stop showing that. I'm gonna start having bloody epilepsy. It's jumping around so much. All right, so I've gone over the whole Kim Porter book now, and I'm going over the chapters more slowly. I'm gonna reach out to Chris Todd after this. Chris Todd has done some interviews recently, and they've really grilled him. If you look at the comments, we're all saying, don't do interviews like this again. This guy's just attacking you. And I can understand how the kids would be really upset with the book. You don't want to hear your mama talking like that, and you wouldn't think your mama would ever be talking like that. I can understand why Gene Deal, the bodyguard, is saying Kim first and foremost was a mama, and she wouldn't be talking like that. But the accuracy of the details, it's like, it's all coming out that the things in this book happened. It would take an inside person like Kim to know what was really going on. People are asking Chris Todd to put out the flash drive and to put out the data, you know, the history, so that they can link it authentically to the devices that Kim was working on. I mean, one of Kim's friends said she didn't even know how to use a computer, which sounds ridiculous. So there's people obviously rallying around Kim's memory and legacy because the book is so X-rated. The metadata would make it conclusive. That's what Sim is saying in the chat. Exactly. And Chris Todd said he's going to do that at some point. So that would be great. Who is Kim? Kim, if you go on, it's not Kardashian, no, it's Kim Porter. She's deceased. Towards the end of the book, Kim thinks that Diddy's going to get her and he's going to kill her. And she starts seeing another guy, and the guy dies from pneumonia. And she's saying she's going to be next. It's absolutely crazy. It became the best-selling book on Amazon. Kim Porter, to answer your question, was a model and an actress who was with Diddy for quite a period of time. If you want me to have a quick look at the wiki page. Born 1970, died November 15th, 2018. American model and actress from Columbus, Georgia. She started modeling as a teenager and was also a debutante. In 1988, she graduated from Columbus High School, moved to Atlanta, Georgia to further her modeling career. She appeared in films and TV series such as The Brothers, 2001, Wicked Wicked Games, 2006, 2007, The System Within, Single Ladies, Mama I Want to Sing, and she also appeared in a number of music videos and worked as a receptionist at Uptown Records after being hired by founder Andre Harrell. She's one of the founders of the Three Brown Girls, a lifestyle planning company in Atlanta, alongside college friends Nicole Cook Johnson and Ebony Electra. She and her company helped start Janelle Monáe's career in the music industry. After inviting her, she was invited to open mic night and introducing her to industry contacts. Monáe said that she was forever indebted to Porter for believing in her. So when she met Diddy, she had this son, Quincy Brown, born 1991, with singer and songwriter Al A1B Shaw, exclamation mark, to whom she was married, AI, according to a 2020 interview with him on Fox Network. From 89, or either late 1990-91, from 94 to 2007, she had an on and off relationship with Diddy. They had a son, Christian Combs, and twin daughters, Jessie and Delilah Combs. And these are the kids now who have all come out, and they've contacted Amazon, and Bezos has kicked the book off Amazon. And they're saying that the book is a fraud. But as you guys know, if you've read the book and you're a kid, you're not going to think your parents are ever going to write anything as disgusting as that. I mean, the book is just steeped in bisexual encounters, parties, blackmail, various crimes involving substances, and even murder conspiracies. It's like something from Machiavelli's wildest dreams. So, of course, the kids aren't going to believe their mom's going to write anything like that. I can understand where they're coming from completely. And then Gene Deal has rebutted it as well, but I don't know enough about him yet, but I'm gonna watch more of his stuff. So in 2023, Combs made a tribute song to Kim on his album, the Love album, Off the Grid, entitled Kim Porter, featuring Babyface and John Legend. So Kim Porter died on November the 15th, 2018, in Toluca Lake, California, of Loba pneumonia after several days of flu-like symptoms. So at the end of Kim's lost words, she's writing while she's got these flu-like symptoms. Her boyfriend, her new boyfriend, has already died from some type of pneumonia. And she's saying, she's putting that squirrely on Diddy, and she's afraid for her life. She thinks she's going to be next. Her apartment has been robbed, and she's being followed around, and she's put it all on Diddy's goons. So if this is legitimately her words, and like, you know, we were waiting for the metadata to find out, the cause of death was listed as deferred on her death certificate. And after an autopsy was completed on November the 16th, 2018, the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office confirmed on January 25th, 2019, that her death was a result of Loba pneumonia. Her funeral at Cascade Hills Baptist Church in Columbus, Georgia, was attended by hundreds of mourners, including Diddy. Her remains were interred at Evergreen Memorial Park in Columbus, Georgia. I'm surprised she's not got a longer wiki page than this. Now, I want to know what the hell Loba pneumonia is, as opposed to regular pneumonia. And there's an article here. Let's have a look. Kim Porter's cause of death revealed. This is in the sources for that article. So this comes under essence.com. Kim Porter's cause of death revealed. The headline is Loba pneumonia. Found dead, not the cause of death. Let's see. Oh, it doesn't say what Loba bloody pneumonia is in this. Let me... Loba pneumonia. Meaning about Loba pneumonia. Here we go. Loba pneumonia. That's got a whole page on it here. All right. Loba pneumonia is a form of pneumonia characterized by inflammatory exudate. Exudate. I've never seen that word before in my life. Within the intra alveolar space, resulting in consolidation that affects a large and continuous area of the lobe of a lung. Have we got any doctors or nurses in the chat today? Because if you are in the chat, perhaps you could... this is another reason, isn't it, to get a medical expert on. Loba pneumonia is one of the three anatomical classifications of pneumonia, the other being bronchopneumonia and atypical pneumonia. In children, round pneumonia develops instead because the pores of cone, which allow the lobe spread of infection, are underdeveloped. Ask for layman terms, yes. Pathopsychology of Loba pneumonia. The invading organism starts multiplying, thereby releasing toxins that cause inflammation and edema of the lung. I thought I could pronounce a lot of words. Paren, PARENCHYMA. This leads to the accumulation of cellular debris within the lungs, and it leads to the consolidation or solidification which is a term that is used for macroscopic or radiologic appearance of the lungs affected by pneumonia. Bacterial pneumonia is mainly classified into loba and diffuse, depending on the degree of lung irritation or damage. It has an acute progression. Classically, loba pneumonia has four stages. Congestion in the first 24 hours, characterized histologically by vascular engorgement, intraalveolar fluid, small numbers of neutrophils, often numerous bacteria. Grossly, the lung is heavy and hyperemic. Red hepatization or consolidation is the next stage. Vascular congestion persists with extravasation of red blood cells into alveolar spaces, along with increased numbers of neutrophils and fibrin. The filling of air spaces by the exudate leads to a gross appearance of solidification or consolidation of the alveolar parenchyma. This appearance has been likened to that of the liver, hence the term hepatization. So that's the second stage. Third stage, gray hepatization. Red blood cells disintegrate with persistence of the neutrophils and fibrin. The alveoli still appear consolidated, but grossly the color is paler and the cut surface is drier. This is when death typically occurs in severe cases. This woman was only around 50 years old. Resolution, complete recovery. The exudate is digested by enzymatic activity and cleared by macrophages or by cough mechanism. Enzymes produced by neutrophils will liquefy exudates, and this will either be coughed up in the sputum or be drained via the lymph. Wow. So there's quite a bit on of this, but I mean, my question is, how common is death? How common is death by loba pneumonia? This is the question, isn't it? Loba pneumonia is typically one that can be fatal, but the mortality rate has decreased over time. All right. Today, the mortality rate for pneumonia is 5 to 10% for hospitalized patients within 30 days and up to 30% for those in intensive care. CDC reported 41,108 deaths from pneumonia in 2021, which is 12.3 deaths per 100,000 people. And she was only around 50 years old. Risk factors for death include being very young or very old, so not the middle bracket, having a weakened immune system, or having pre-existing heart or lung conditions. So the loba variety occurs when an entire lung lobe becomes infected and filled with fluid. When you drown, kind of imagine how you go out like that. The main cause of community-acquired loba pneumonia is S. dot pneumoniae. Is that the bacteria? Pneumonia is a leading cause of death in children. This is worldwide. Each year, 1.8 million children under the age of 6 die from pneumonia worldwide. Oh my God. Didn't know that. Yeah, so for a 50-year-old woman to die, it can happen. We need to get a medical expert on to discuss this further. But it looks a bit suspicious for me. It's like, you know, if you read Princess Diana in her own words, she's saying, I'm afraid they're going to try and murder me, Charles, is going to make it look like a car crash. And now in Kim Porter's last words, we've got, my ex-boyfriend has just died from pneumonia. Did it. And I'm afraid he's going to kill me. His goons have robbed my house. They follow me around. And then she dies of pneumonia. So we need to investigate this much further. That's what I'm saying. If there are any medical experts, I'm looking at the chat right now. All right, put a one in the chat if you are suspicious about Kim Porter dying from Loba pneumonia. Put a two in the chat if you think Kim dying from Loba pneumonia it's a numbers game, isn't it? Some people of that age bracket are going to die from Loba pneumonia. It's just statistically essential if you look at the whole bell curve of this. Could it be anthrax? That's what Dee's saying. She was roofied. Well, if you look at the cocktails of substances she was on, that would certainly damage her immune system. It's nearly all ones. Nearly all ones in here, in the chat. Yeah. Way too young, in my opinion, says Sim. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Rosalina, the channel BJ. Shane. Guest Booker Shane, are you watching this? Can you reach out to Channel BJ, who's investigating Porter's death? And can you reach out to any medical professionals who have anything to say about Porter's death? The stress would have made it worse and delayed medical help. You know, how long was Princess Diana in that ambulance for? Couldn't she have got help? And if you read The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, these leaders, powerful people, have been knocking each other off from time immemorial. People can call us conspiracy theorists, but just read about ancient Rome. And the public didn't know at the time what the hell was going on. That's not changed, other than we've got the internet now. And we can do our own research and try and find things out faster. But it's the quality, it's the mystery of these cases. Like Jeffrey, nobody knew how it went down with Jeffrey in that cell on that day. No one knows exactly how it went down with JFK on that day. And that's what keeps the virality and the interest in these cases. So Kim really died of fecal matter bacteria in her system. That's what Rosalina's saying. SP, Clintons do have a hell of a list. I've written a book, Clinton, Bush, and CIA Conspiracies, and my whole, it's got hashtag Clinton body count on the top, and the whole list at that point in time was covered in the book. Yeah. Jeffrey walked out of that damn place. I mean, that's another theory. I'm not discounting it. He may be on some island with the guys. What was the guy who was running the energy company? Enron. The guy who died mysteriously. Kenneth Lay, was it? Kenneth Lay. He might be on some island with Kenneth Lay right now. Thank you, Mint Club. Fatherhood is going great. And just to have a bundle of love and the way he laughs and smiles at you, it's absolutely fantastic. All right, so there's going to be I'm going to do another stream later on today, wrapping up all the Diddy News headlines. We have got, I'll probably do that at 7 before the psychic comes on at 7:30. Psychic from 7:30 to 8:30. Royal Mess from 8:30 to late. Tomorrow night, we've got Jay Dyer, expert on esoteric Hollywood, coming on about Diddy and his connections to secret societies, Oprah, etc. And Shane, if you're watching, we've had Tommy on 2 weeks in a row. We need another big guest for Sunday night on this case. Maybe Matt Cox. Matt Cox can probably do a good analysis of this situation. Yes, Diane, many conspiracy theories have been proven. And, you know, we put that stuff up with Julie the other night about the DNA test. And no one's come forward and said these DNA results don't match. No one. All they're doing is ad hominem attacks, attacking her, saying she's crazy, saying I'm saying she's Madeleine McCann, which I've never said. All I've said is that Julie has a right to tell her story. I believe in freedom of speech. John Wedgwood, who brought her to the channel, believes Madeleine's dead. It's not about pushing a narrative saying that she is Madeleine McCann. It's about supporting this poor woman who's been through hell and that she has the right to tell her own story. And people who say that she doesn't have the right to tell her own story do not believe in freedom of speech. What gives person A the right to tell person B, you don't have a right to go on Sean Atwood's platform and tell your story? What gives them authority? You know, they are not Chairman Mao. They do not have that authority. They can get off their judgmental high horses. When we put someone on this channel, we let the viewers take away from that what they want. We let the viewers decide from that what they want. We do not ram narratives down people's minds. This is a channel where I try and remain an independent host, bring on a range of interesting guests with a range of viewpoints. I might not necessarily agree with them. And because of my polite demeanor, people often think I am endorsing viewpoints. When I'm not, I am just polite to all my guests. I believe by being polite to your guests, it puts them in a state because many of them are nervous. It helps them relax. And they give you the full-on story, not cutting the long story short. You know, we've had many emails from people who've come on the channel or been interviewed in the studio and said they felt very relaxed coming on, and they did make them competent and on the ball and able to go into those harrowing memories. Right, SP in the chat, can you ask if anything good coming from our four nations, Meta, please, can stop this appearance. Yeah. So I don't know whether Julia is Madeleine or not. It's just an avenue that we are exploring on this channel. And looking at the DNA test results from part 7, it does look like Julia is related to them. That's as far as this has got. If someone's out there who's an expert in those numbers who wants to come on the channel and go over it all with us, I would be delighted to do that. Because I'm no expert in that. Ron's not. Julia's not. I think it needs some further exploration. Julia sent the numbers off to an expert. He's come back and said there's a familial relationship, like a sibling type of relationship. It could have been shut down at that point. He could have come back and said, you have no relationship to these people whatsoever. That could have ended it, but it didn't, which motivates us to keep exploring what the hell is going on. So, yeah, I know a lot of people believe that she is Maddie, including, and there's nothing wrong with that. She is Maddie. Those who believe she died, their opinion is based on media lies. My thing is, my philosophy is anti-dogmatism. Be an observer of all the different theories and come to your own conclusion. DNI testers lie about DNI tests all the time to frame people. Yep, national disgrace. I totally agree with that. In fact, there are situations in America where prosecutors have been caught speaking to the DNA labs, and the DNA labs are asking the prosecutors, what result do you want? That's how manipulative these DNA people can be. They are completely corruptible. But Julia sent her stuff in blind. She didn't tell them who she was, and she didn't say this is from the McCanns. So the person had no vested interest in fame or anything to produce those results. It went in blind. And if you guys haven't seen the part 7 with Julia, check it out. It was only done a couple of days ago. It's fascinating that the results came back like that. I wasn't expecting it. I had no idea what was going to happen. And I thought it was very unusual. And it blew my mind. All right, guys. So unless there's something massive breaking, I'm going to be back at 7 for the Diddy News headlines roundup. Psychic on 7:30 to 8:30, then Royal Mess. So we've got about 3 to 4 more hours of content this evening. Jay Dyer tomorrow, John Potash next week. And I don't see Shane in the chat. Come on, Shane, get out of bed, man. I know you're in America. Get out of bed and get us a killer guest for Sunday night that we can have a good couple of hours with. Take care, everyone. Thanks for watching. See you then.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.